You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. Church and State, a new dramedy about faith, politics, and the Twitter, packs plenty of humor, raves Time Out New York. HuffPost calls it powerful. It's the play NPR wishes every member of Congress would see. Now performing at New World Stages, tickets at churchandstatetheplay.com. And now, enjoy the podcast. Hi, I'm Ben Mathis, and welcome to Kick-Ass News. Folks, if you listen to this podcast, you probably fancy yourself a bit of a student of American history. Well, today, we're going to put your knowledge to the test. Pop quiz. Number one, how many pints of blood were drained out of George Washington on his deathbed? Come on, people, that's a softball. He's our first president, for God's sake. All right, next question. What were the Straw Hat Riots? Okay, that one you can probably guess, but believe me, there's a lot more to it. Third question. What large African animal was almost imported to the U.S. to be raised for meat by decree of Congress? I'll give you a hint. It's a close relative to the pig, only much, much, much bigger. Last one, bonus question. Which U.S. president was gifted with a 1,400-pound wheel of cheese along with a bust of his likeness, you guessed it, carved in cheese? Anyone? Anyone? Well, don't feel too bad if you flunked the Kick-Ass News American History Quiz, because today you'll learn about all that and more with comedians Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds, the hosts of the Dollop podcast and co-authors of a fun new book called The United States of Absurdity: Untold Stories from American History. Dave Anthony is a stand-up comedian, writer, and actor who's been seen on Jimmy Kimmel Live, The Late Late Show, and Comedy Central, and in 2015, he was named Comedian to Watch by LA Weekly. He's also a writer who's worked on television shows like IFC's Marin and AMC's Talking Dead. Gareth Reynolds is a writer-comedian who's written for shows on Netflix, Comedy Central, Fox, and Hulu. He's also executive-produced shows like MTV's Failosophy and Travel Channel's Mancations. And according to his bio, he's currently building up to a presidential run. Together, Dave and Gareth co-host The Dollop, a weekly podcast on which they present the weird, outrageous, and downright bizarre tales from American history that you somehow weren't taught in school. Now they've taken some of their favorite stories and put them into their hilarious new book, The United States of Absurdity: Untold Stories from American History. Today, Dave and Gareth will talk about the excruciating death of America's founding father, the inventor of the Heimlich maneuver who turned out to be a quack, and another couple of quacks who tried to build a flying Pinto. Actually, we're going to talk about a lot of quacks today, behind some of the strangest and most infamous moments in our nation's history, and often, not surprisingly, alcohol was involved. A lot of alcohol. We'll talk about the baseball great who had a habit of leaving in the middle of a game to go chase cars, the great Kentucky meat shower of 1876, the legendary and disgusting Jackson cheese, and an odd assortment of forgotten American heroes, including Mike the Chicken, Rainbow Man, Lobster Boy, and someone named Oofty Goofty. Coming up with the co-hosts of The Dollop, Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds, in just a moment. You all know about George Washington, Ben Franklin, and Abraham Lincoln, but do you know other great American heroes like Iron Mike Malloy, Rainbow Man, and Oofty Goofty? Well, Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds are the co-hosts of a weekly American history podcast called The Dollop, where they riff on obscure and bizarre stories you probably haven't heard of in our nation's past. Now they've distilled the best ofs in a fun new book called The United States of Absurdity. Guys, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having us on the podcast.
As I was telling Gareth, I'm a relatively new convert to The Dollop. Yeah, I heard you guys on the Sklar Brothers podcast, I guess probably a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to a bunch of back episodes. Oh, yeah, they're hilarious.
Yeah.
Now, how did you start The Dollop? How did you two get together on this? Have you always been big history nuts?
No.
Not that guy.
No. Well, the truth is that Dave initially started it as a one-man rant-a-thon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So initially...
It was a way to work out. I was getting ready to do a one-man show in Australia, so it was a way to sort of work out material of stuff I wanted to talk about. So I was like, I'll just start ranting and see if anything comes out of it. And I did like four, and I was like, well, this is boring.
Yeah.
Talking to myself.
Yeah. So then, and then we had met, you know, just through podcasting and had always gotten along. And I, you know, just randomly, Dave was, I mean, it just kind of randomly worked out where the first Dollop Dave did with a guest, I was the guest. And then, and then we just never stopped.
Yeah, the
we're holding hands.
No, I don't want to hold hands.
We're holding hands.
No, we're good.
We are.
The plan. I don't want to.
He just kissed my hand.
Okay, that's different. The plan was for me to do a different comedian every week.
Okay.
And then he was the first one, and it was like, oh, that's the show. So the fans went crazy, and then we just
never looked back. And then after that, I mean, and then you know, like to your question, Dave has always liked history, and I've never paid attention to history.
Gareth is an animal documentary.
I'm an animal
guy.
Expert.
He's a biology.
Animals.
He's seen the planet Earth 9 million times.
Oh. I'm not going to get into it too far, but let's just say on the new season, they open with a sloth trying to have sex. And if you've never seen a sloth in a sex run, you have to see a sloth going 100 miles per hour for a sloth, because it's still a mile an hour. It's the slowest, but he's like, "Whoo, I'm moving fast."
See, he could do his version of the podcast would be him reading animal facts to me,
or to an animal.
Okay, you could do that. Yeah. Well, you have a healthy dose of animals in this new book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you usually do the research and you tell the history to Gareth on the podcast, and Gareth, you kind of riff on it. Do you ever want to switch roles? Do you ever get tired of being the guy who has to do all the research here?
We have. There's been a few times where I've been like, hey, I can't handle the load. And Gareth picked up I think six or seven. Yeah. It's interesting. So most people like it. There's a few people grumble over everything, but most people like them when they come.
Like Dave has to do a lot of work. So if we're going up on, like, you know, we've been on tour, I mean, that's just like a lot to front load, because these are, you know, 8, 9, 10 page heavily researched stories.
Yeah.
That are
crazy.
Research department.
Yeah. I mean, he gets, you know, help and he puts them together, but still, I mean, it's a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah, well, you have this new book called The United States of Absurdity, which, like I said, it's kind of a best ofs from the podcast. In the intro, you warn readers that they'll have a different perspective on America by the time they finish the book.
Yeah.
Now, that would seem to suggest that we already have a certain perspective going on. What would that be?
I think that's like pointed at the general sort of stuff you learn in school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't necessarily go out to search history to see maybe what really happened. So, you know, they kind of skim over it in school and give you the hits. And then, like, if you actually
sat
down.
Yeah, but the hits are like stolen. It's like the Led Zeppelin stolen songs. Like, didn't they come up with great music? You're like, didn't a blues musician play this song 20 years ago?
And what's funny is like, you know, you learned whatever. You learned that George Washington, you know, didn't lie about cutting down the tree and stuff like that. But if you sat a kid down and said, look, George Washington had other people's teeth in his mouth, kids would be like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
And he died when they drained him of blood. All right, state capitals. Move on. I also think for me, as someone who went into the podcast yeah, not really with any idea. I mean, you know, it's completely shifted my perspective on America and American history and, you know, kind of what and it really helps you have perspective today, at least for me. It's helped me have perspective today and really recognize that, you know, it's
things
always been nuts. and we're living in 30 years. We'll look back and be like, how did this happen? And I'm not even talking just the president or, you know, a ton of shit.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, because I think that you start off the book by saying, in a way, American history is like report cards. The good ones go on the fridge to be boasted over, and the bad ones get tossed in the trash, and we pretend like they never happened. Are we maybe reaching the point in this country where we're starting to put the F's and the D's on the refrigerator?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, yeah, I mean, you know, in the world of we've never lived in a world – we've lived in a world where we've ignored facts for a long time. We've never lived in a world where facts have been so distorted.
Right. Yeah.
So it's really hard to, like, actually – you know, the truth is it's not that hard to know the truth, but there's just a lot of misinformation that I think has made a lot of people not be able to. So now we have F's on the fridge and we're like, check it out. We got A's. Like, no, you don't have A's. You don't have A's. Those are F's.
We're not even bothering to turn the F into an A.
Yeah.
We're just saying it's an A.
There's no fridge. You just spray painted A on the wall and you're on meth.
It's funny. People always say, like, well, we've had worse times and I'm not sure that's true. Than right now, because people bring up the Civil War, they go, well, we went to war. He goes, yeah, but at that time, everyone agreed on the facts.
Yeah.
You're for slavery, you're against it. Those are pretty much the facts. But if that was the issue today, people would be like, no, they're not slaves. They're people that I have in my house.
Contractors that are told how to work.
Right. It would be this crazy thing. And so.
Yeah, it would be weird if back in those days we had slaves and then we build a wall or like send them out of the country suddenly and like bankrupt the country.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Yeah, I imagine. Oh, wait.
You say these tales, quote, will not only show you how insane American history is, but also reveal how much this country loves alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely a disproportionate number of these stories seem to be alcohol-fueled, or maybe it's an entirely proportional representation of America. I don't know.
You know, it's funny. I think the common theme is a parent who drank, and then the kid's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
or
really...
alcohol decision-making. Yeah. Like, you know, alcohol... That's why, you know, the arguing over the legalization of marijuana always seems so crazy, because alcohol makes people go nuts.
No, alcohol... Yeah.
Weed makes people go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, and alcohol makes people be like, all right, let's kill that guy and get insurance money. It's like, just not clear thinking. But every country loves alcohol, but definitely in America, I mean, you know, we don't even... I mean, we... touch on prohibition, but what an amazing thing to have to say.
Yeah,
we're quitting as a nation. We have a national drinking problem.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is such a big part of our history. I mean, George Washington was a whiskey distiller. Mm-hmm. Jefferson had a vineyard.
Ben Franklin's moonshine.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, a good example of this is a relatively recent incident in the book. When the baseball team, the Cleveland Indians, came up with this brilliant marketing ploy to fill the stands, what did they do?
Well, they had a great idea. They had
dream. First of all, the two teams had just fought the week before. So then they were like, well, let's fill the stands by offering 10-cent
beers.
So
attendance is so low in Cleveland.
So they didn't cap at any point. They were just like 10-cent beers all night long.
Yeah.
And, you know...
It would
Cut
be
to...
like going like, what about the internet? And then never thinking of the consequence.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, what about 10-cent beer? They're like, that's enough thinking. Let's do it.
Yeah, they didn't have enough security. I mean, cut to 2 hours later, the players are fighting the crowd to get off the field. They're overturning beer trucks. Yeah. It's just total
mayhem.
There
was like something like 50 security guards working for thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
And they basically stormed the castle, got the beer. They were just monsters.
I mean, at some point, they had like two girls, and I think they were girls. I think they were like teenage girls running the beer trucks, and they just like walked away and let the people have the beer.
Because hundreds of men were just like, give us the beer. They were like, have the trucks. And then they were like using the hoses as straws. And...
Yeah, I think there was like a dozen streakers throughout the game.
Oh, yeah.
So many streakers.
Tons of streakers.
Yeah. There was like a pile of clothes in the outfield eventually.
Yeah.
And who were they playing? The Texas Rangers, I think?
Yeah.
Texas
the Rangers are fighting the fans, and
so
then the Indians
Rangers
are fighting the fans.
The Rangers eventually had to be saved by the Indians or vice versa. I can't remember which it was specifically, but one team, I think it's the Rangers were saved by the Indians, but the Rangers are basically going to get killed by fans. And so the Indians come out and they basically like get them in. And then even when the players are gone, people are just like, let's steal bases. And they're just like tearing the place apart. But
one of the coaches wanted to keep playing and the umpire was like, well, there's no home plate anymore. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Use a hat. We got a bunch of hats. We'll use shirts. Got a ton of shirts in left field.
Well, another largely forgotten character in the book who loved baseball and alcohol. You dedicate the book to this guy named Rube. I don't know how you say this. Rube Waddle or Rube Waddell.
Waddell.
Why is he your favorite?
Oh, boy. He's always been my favorite athlete of all time. So he's a guy that pitched the same time as Cy Young, who the Cy Young Award is named after. So the best pitcher in each league every year gets the Cy Young Award. But this guy is arguably as good as Cy Young, and nobody talks about him because he was a crazy drunk, not very bright, and did stuff like when he was on the mound and a fire truck went by, he would run off the mound and chase the fire truck.
Like a dog.
Like a dog.
People would hold, speaking of dogs, people would hold up puppies to distract him. He would wrestle alligators in the off season. He was, I mean, just like the hits don't stop coming.
He would change his clothes as he walked through the crowd.
Eating hot dogs and drinking their beers.
He would take someone's beer as he walked to the mound and drink it and then get into a fist fight with the fan that he took the beer from.
Was he a good baseball player?
Great.
Tremendous, really?
As good as Cy Young for a couple of years, for sure, yep.
Yeah, they pitched head-to-head at one point and the Rube got the game ball.
Really?
It was in some insane 20 inning.
Traded it away for beer.
Yeah, and then he traded it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the most sought after ball in the history of baseball at that time. And he's like, give me a case of beer.
I'm not an idiot. I want two for it. All right, Rube. Well, you know how to negotiate, don't you, pal? To the bank.
I wonder, is that where the term Rube is? Someone says, I'm no Rube.
Well, I think I
don't take advantage of me.
The opposite, right? They labeled him a Rube.
They called him
Rube.
Oh,
it was a nickname.
Yeah.
They gave him the nickname. Was it because he didn't know how to play baseball at first?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many things he didn't know. But we dedicated the book to him because it's probably our people's favorite episode of our fans. That seems to be the uniting. The fans like to call themselves Rubes and stuff like that.
And he's also such a like great forgotten character.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard too in a book like this because, you know, a lot, you know, these stories have to be kind of condensed down. Mm-hmm. And it's hard with him because it just doesn't stop. It's assaultive, the fact.
Well, you don't just cover crackpots and drunks in the book. There's a little bit of presidential history. For instance, I think you alluded to it in the opening here. I had no idea that George Washington died such an excruciating and undignified death.
Oh, his death
fun,
is
right?
Horrifying. That was when medicine was like, okay, let's do this. They put dried beetles on his neck. They had three doctors came in, and each doctor was like, I'm going to drain some blood. So they basically bled him to death because they took half his blood.
My God.
It would be like if there was a cake sitting in a room and independently people walked into the room and didn't know that other people had pieces of the cake and they just started to have pieces of the cake unbeknownst to others and then there's no cake left. That was the president's blood.
And then after he died, a guy came and he's like, hey, listen, I know how to get him back to life.
Yeah. So then once he's dead, there's a guy who's like, I'm not saying tap out just yet. we're down. But we're not out.
What was his idea? He was going to fill him with sheep blood or something
like
that?
Yeah, it was some crazy thing.
That's the one. I think his idea was to fill him with sheep blood and something else. And put a beetle in his mouth or something.
Was Washington the one who didn't want... So there was also a thing about having your body stolen or...
grave robbers.
Yeah, grave. Yeah. So there were guys who didn't want to be buried until like 3 days later, so they would rot enough or some crazy stuff like that.
Which is always cool.
Yeah, it is
cool. That's what I want, too. Leave me in the house for 3 days.
I want to be dragged behind a truck.
Oh, and I'm going to give him that wish. Living or dead, I'm going to give it to him.
We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more with comedians Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds, co-hosts of the Dollop Podcast, when we come back in just a moment. When our phones are our very own tailor-made media universe, and our social media feeds are seeded with opinions and lies, how can we possibly find common ground, especially when our politicians are getting more entrenched by the day? Thankfully, there's one way to maintain a level of frankness and transparency in your media. Listen to On the Media, WNYC's weekly investigation into how the media shapes our worldview. While maintaining the civility and fairness that are hallmarks of public radio, the team at On the Media tackles sticky issues and untangles this era's most intractable questions. Brooke Gladstone and Bob Garfield are your hosts on a search for the truth in a 24-hour news cycle. Catch them on their weekly podcast, On the Media, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now, back to the show. Now, this one's my favorite, and this is another presidential one, because I can't believe that I never heard this story before about Andrew Jackson got a giant wheel of cheese that just would not die.
Yeah. Changed the Civil War.
So he's a populist, right? He's the first, real populist president. So he went through New York, and they were trying to show off how great they were making cheese.
They made
like a bust of a president, and they made a bunch of wheels of cheese.
This is when there wasn't a lot to be excited about.
Yeah.
The cheese went on tour.
People were like, hey, the cheese is coming.
Oh, my God, I can't tomorrow. The cheese will be coming down the road.
Martha, will you get a look at this cheese?
My God, this was worth it.
What a Saturday.
So this dude takes all his cheese on tour. And then he gives Jackson basically hundreds of pounds of cheese as a gift.
Was it one big cheese wheel?
It was one big cheese wheel, yeah. one giant one.
I think there was also a sidekick. He might have had a sidecar. It was like a 750 and like a 200, like a little tip.
It's like the groom's cake or something.
Right.
Yeah. But because he was a populist, it was cheese from the people, so he couldn't throw it out. Like if France gave it to him, he'd be like, "Well, the French," and toss it out the door. But it was from the people.
Yeah, cheese from the people is a band we're starting, by the way. And then so he has all this cheese, and he just doesn't know what to do with it. So he's literally trying to give it away.
And it's just sitting in the White House. It's just rotting in the White House.
I mean, it's already mold, but it's molding. The mold has mold.
And now we're talking years. His time in office.
Every time someone comes into the office, Patsy cheese? No, Andrew. Oh.
So you could smell the cheese from blocks away.
Wow.
During the summer, because of course it's hot and cheese
and
doesn't.
Cheese
isn't great.
It's not odorless.
In the summer in Washington, D.C.
Washington with no air conditioning in the summer. Heat and humidity.
Yeah.
Ooh. And you can read the book and find out the fun little M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end.
He
can't. It's like Brewster's Millions, but with cheese, and he doesn't win.
Nobody wins.
I wonder if when he had ambassadors or congressmen or whatever come for meetings, I wonder if they said, "Oh, let's meet at my place. let's meet at my office."
No, come here. Bring your wife and family. We'll have cheese. No, Old Hickory. No.
You smell like cheese. Have you been to the White House?
He will only meet in the cheese room.
I wonder, maybe that would be a good negotiating tactic for Donald Trump. I feel like that's something he would pull.
He does that with meatloaf.
Mind game. Meatloaf.
You want an 800-pound meatloaf?
I got to look it up.
Chris Christie's inside of it.
I got to look it up because I saw some sort of headline that said that someone wants to give him a big thing of cheese.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Now, a side note here. A couple of times you briefly reference, it's not a main story, but you briefly reference Al Roker shitting his pants at the White House. I have never heard this story. Is this true?
It is true, and I believe it's confirmed by Al Roker. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, just the fact that I think he was just sick and he just shit his pants at the White House.
You know what? If you're going to do it somewhere.
That's where you do it.
Might as well be the White House.
Willie Nelson smoked a joint on the roof and Al Roker shit his pants. Those are the two things I bring to the podcast.
May I use your bathroom?
Yeah.
A large one. A White House sized.
Go to the cheese room.
There was also in here something about, I guess, Congress at one point wanted to bring hippo meat to the masses. Hippopotamus meat.
So in the early 1900s, we had a meat shortage, basically. We didn't have enough meat to feed the people who were suddenly wanting more meat. And so this guy who had fought in a war in Africa was like, well, there's animals in Africa. and some of them are pretty big. So he wanted to bring over African animals, and then he, for some reason, settled on the hippo. And crazily, his, I want to say nemesis in the war,
yeah,
the Boer War, also wanted to do the same thing. So
they were like competing scouts or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
And yeah. So they together were trying to convince Congress to bring hippos over to breed and have in the rivers.
And of and course, then eat some them. Congressman was like, by God, this makes sense. And then so it would be like turning on your TV today and it just, and by the way, we're not far from this, but it just being like, hippo bill brought to Senate floor for vote.
Well,
it must
hippos
have been
are...
some kind of pork barrel project where someone was
gonna
get a bunch
them?
Of money to bring it to Kansas or somewhere.
They call them Lake Cow Bacon. That's,
that's
what
right.
Well, they say that they're very similar to pigs, don't they? Hippos. Somewhere along the line, I heard that their closest relative
might
is
have been
pig.
From this guy.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, they're really mean. Hippos are insane.
Oh yeah, they're dangerous.
Probably the last thing you want to see in nature is a hippo.
Yeah,
coming at you.
Like, can you imagine us having hippos along the Mississippi? Like, hippo killed another person today.
Yeah.
Again, this was a bad idea.
Well, and that was the idea to have hippos live here and like just have hippos.
Yeah.
And then he was like, then we moved to giraffes. Like this dude was like, right. The sky's the limit.
They did it in Pablo Escobar brought hippos in. So there's hippos living down there.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't go at Pablo, though. They were like the last thing you want to see is a charging Pablo.
Yeah. I don't know. I imagine giraffe meat would be really stringy.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine that's good.
Oh, that's good neck.
And that, you know, you wouldn't want to eat an elephant, but I'm sure someone talked about that.
Oh, yeah. The trunk?
Yeah.
Oh, that juicy trunk meat?
Sweet
trunk.
Oh, yeah. What is it they say? You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time or something like that?
Okay,
I think that's from, what was it, House
Jimmy
of Cards
John.
Or something.
Oh.
and I think there's also something in here about it raining meat at one point,
yeah.
But I'll let people look in the book at that
this
one.
This wasn't during the meat shortage.
No.
Yeah.
This was when we had too
the
much.
Abundance of
that is
meat. Abundance.
One of America's great mysteries.
Yeah.
Where did the meat come from?
Meat trees. Yeah.
There's also no shortage of quack medicine and snake oil salesmen in the United States of absurdity. One of my favorites, apparently the same guy who invented the Heimlich maneuver, tried to cure cancer and then AIDS with malaria.
Yeah, he was an insane person.
Really?
Nobody realizes that Heimlich was kind of just a monster.
But really, all I thought of before Dave told me about this was the Heimlich maneuver. You just hear the Heimlich maneuver and you're like, this genius was just like, punch it out. You're like, smart, Henry.
Yeah.
We're putting you on the five.
It turned out that was never really a good idea, his maneuver.
Yeah.
And he just, through PR and conniving, got it to be a thing.
Well, it's not even that maneuver is what's... he wanted it to replace CPR.
Yeah.
So instead of giving someone mouth-to-mouth and chest pumps, he thought it was better to just pound their stomach. And like people, and he got the Lifeguard Association to sign off on it. And then, towards the end of his life, he thought... he literally was like, I can cure AIDS.
Yeah.
So unable to have anywhere to practice medicine with like AIDS experimentation anymore, he goes to Africa.
Yeah, because he couldn't do it legally anywhere. So he's like, I'll go to Africa.
So he just finds people with AIDS. His theory being that malaria like will kill AIDS. So he gives these people with AIDS malaria.
Because of the fever. It makes them really hot and then it kills.
It's hard to repitch what he thought.
Yeah, it's all a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. As if they weren't having a rough day already.
Yeah. Oh, medicine? No malaria.
No, I'm giving you malaria.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Let me know if you're choking.
This will make you feel worse.
Ow.
This is one useful thing I got out of your book is apparently they don't recommend that you do the Heimlich maneuver anymore. They just say thump someone on the chest or something.
Right, or the back,
the
back, I mean. Yeah,
you're not supposed to do it.
However, right before he died, Henry Heimlich saved somebody by performing the Heimlich maneuver like
but
2 years ago.
A lot of people thought it was a setup.
Oh, God, that's the
greatest. It didn't actually happen.
I specifically remember one time at Sunday lunch, my dad trying to give some old man the Heimlich maneuver at the next table who was choking. And A, he was breathing and he was talking, so I don't think he was actually dying or choking.
I'm coughing.
Ow.
My dad's picking him up and the old man starts saying, oh, you're crushing my ribs.
Don't worry, sir. I'm here to help you. Yeah. I'm here to help you.
You're going to have AIDS by the time this is over.
What?
Well, you know, in the past few weeks, I've seen a lot of talk about flying cars. Uber's working on it. I think Elon Musk or someone is talking about flying cars. But there's a cautionary tale in this book that they maybe want to read. The story of a couple of guys who created a flying Pinto.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the best mm-hmm. car to fly.
Yeah, they were like, what's cutting edge and not a bomb? The Pinto. No, the Pinto was prone to exploding because of like removing the bumper, you know. So these guys, basically their theory was that they could their dream scenario is, you know, a couple wants to go away for the weekend. They drive their gorgeous Pinto to a local airport. They put on
their wings.
Really cumbersome weird wings.
Yeah. Detachable wings.
Detachable wings.
That right there sounds like
the great
something I would
idea.
Not trust at all.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And then the idea was that you would literally steer with your steering wheel. You could get it up to, I think, like 3,000 feet or something insane. And they tested this. And they had one pilot who did it a couple times, and both times, like, crashed. And then
he couldn't do it for one day, and then they did it.
And that's when it ended
reason. They're not around anymore.
Yeah.
They're flying Pintos in the sky.
Why the Pinto? Was it lighter?
It was a smaller car. But let's just not do flying cars.
Yeah.
Well, you just definitely don't want to be in the beta phase of much, but flying cars for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not going well. What? Oh, God, we were wrong?
Crash.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of any kind of hybrid-type situation.
Right.
Like when you go to a Mexican/Chinese restaurant, that's never good.
Yeah.
Trying
but
to combine two good things or
two bad
things.
Donuts and Armenian food.
Really good. Darmenian? I love Darmenian.
What is Darmenian? What's the D part?
Donuts.
Oh.
I've combined them. I'm working on it. It's going bad. I also just don't think you should look at how people drive. Do you really want to take that to the sky?
Yeah.
Like the license you're going to need to, they really are going to have to.
Just some guy flying by looking at his cell phone.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Candy Crush. Oh, that dude's apartment. My bad. Hey, 9 dead.
So many of these stories end in riots. Now, we're not talking Watts riots. We're talking things like the Gentleman's Riot the Straw Hat Riots.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if there's one thing that we know about rowdy teens, it's that they hate when people disobey fashion rules,
especially hat. So people up until World War II were super into hats. Like if you were outside without a hat, people were like, "What happened?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah,
they'd
institutionalize you.
Yeah, like you
get him a hat.
Like you were there was something wrong with you. So that meant there were rules for hats, and one of the rules for hats was you didn't wear a straw hat after Labor Day. And then young teens decided to aggressively enforce that rule.
Yeah.
And then that ended up being riots.
That's kind of the thing. It's just like that mentality exists today just in some different weird format.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, well, you damn it. Well, take your hat off.
Well, this is one of those cases in history where I feel like it was about something else, really.
Yeah, your body's going.
They were
changes.
Taking out their anger on the straw hat.
Oh, sure, you're a newsboy. You're not making any money. You don't have shoes, and then some guy walks by and he's like, "That guy's not wearing a fancy hat at the right time," and so you punch him. But it's really about the fact that you don't have shoes.
I miss my dad.
He's got a fancy hat.
I mean, what does it say that almost exclusively all of these stories are about men doing something stupid? Never women. You have a couple of women who are victims of men's stupidity.
That's really interesting. I mean, you know, first of all, women weren't allowed to do very much.
That's
a
big part
just weren't. So you have men experimenting and doing crazy things because society allowed them to. But then the other thing is, historically speaking, I don't know if they wrote it down if the woman did something weird as much as they did the man. Like the Rube is like, people are like, look at the Rube. But if it was a woman, they'd be like, put her in an asylum. She's crazy. You know, so
women being able to have freedom to be crazy has been recent. Men have been allowed to be crazy forever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have in the podcast gotten into stuff, but a lot of times if we're focusing in on a woman, it's probably because she's a hero.
Right.
But there are times where you're like, well, this lady had an axe to grind, huh?
Yeah. Okay. So there are some forgotten women in American history who did dumb shit.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
They're out there.
But really a lot of times it's like, oh, good, men. Being mean to a woman. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. We have one that's not in the book, and it's basically about this woman who just, for whatever reason, she was in New York, and she would take the trains, and men,
She had very large breasts.
Busted.
Yeah.
So she would come out, I think she was 19, she would come out of the subway every day to go up to her office and walk a couple blocks. And first it was a few men, and then it was
just watching her.
100 men, and then it was 1,000 men, and then it was 10,000 plus men
watching her
on Wall Street, watching a woman come out of the subway every day and hooting and hollering. Like, you read that and you go, what?
How did not one guy, like, I think, I mean, you never know, but I think today guys would be,
like guys, all right, hey, chill.
Yeah, I mean, there would be guys would be like, guys, what? Go home.
Well, but that reminds me of, I don't know if you guys have ever covered this or have heard about this, the Flatiron Building. There was apparently, this is like one of those things that happened around the turn of the century, and I guess that corner where the Flatiron Building in New York is created a wind tunnel that would blow women's dresses up.
Oh.
And so cops would ticket young men for loitering around the Flatiron Building.
Yeah, hilarious.
Good Lord.
Men are great. Well, if there's one thing you learn, it's
that's
that men are wonderful throughout time.
Terrific.
Just really great.
Trust the white man.
Yeah. Who did the illustrations in the book? Because the illustrations are awesome.
Yeah, James Fosdyke. He's an artist in Australia, and he's sort of always been associated with us. Early on, I had another podcast, and he just randomly sent me a piece of art that he drew and is listening to it. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then he was doing that to other podcasts. And so we just started using him when we started this one right away for all our posters and all of our art. And
also on the podcast art for the dollar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, for the most part, any of the posters or most of the shirts we have someone else who does some stuff too. But for the most part, it's James. And, you know, as soon as we were going to do the book, I mean, we got him involved, and it just, you know, it really is like he's, you know, the third part of this because the illustrations really, that's why, like, for our fans who have heard the stories before, it's like, you know, if you want to get the book, a lot of it is going to be watching some of these characters being brought to life and, you know, in insane format. He literally got no notes for the book.
If anybody wants to go look up his art, he did an amazing political drawing of Tony Abbott in Australia, who they have an issue with. They have an island where they keep people who are trying to get to Australia, you know, immigrants, and they keep them in this island, and it's a really messed up situation. And it's a drawing of Tony Abbott sewing one of the immigrants' mouth shut, and you look at it and you're like, this is one of the most genius political
Abbott has while
drawings
doing it.
I've ever seen. Yeah. Like, it's really amazing. Wow.
He's brilliant.
Now, is this the same guy that got into it with Donald Trump over the immigrant situation? Wasn't he the one that Donald Trump yelled at over the phone a couple months ago?
No, that was the next guy.
That's the next guy.
Yeah, that's the next guy. Someone has transcribed one of their conversations, and if you can find it.
Yeah.
Turnbull, is that his name?
Yeah.
Oh, Turnbull. That's right. Malcolm Turnbull.
Donald Trump talking to Malcolm Turnbull. You cannot believe what you're reading.
Yeah.
The conversation they have.
Things are good.
Well, then we'll wrap up on current events here. We certainly live in ridiculous times. You address that in the conclusion to the book. Is there something to be gleaned from these absurd, forgotten stories in American history that either maybe comforts people or might inform how they consume news today?
Oh boy.
Well, or am I maybe digging too deep here?
I think you can take comfort in the fact that it's always been crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're always aware that you're living in crazy like we might right now. I mean, I definitely feel more aware of the crazy, but you know, I mean, things change. Times go up and down. I think what we're dealing with now is a very interesting situation because, you know, if you look to our future, the climate is something that I think most people are pretty passionate about. And I think if we could be aiming to preserve that, then look, anybody can be president. Let's have a laugh, right? But I think when you have that looming situation, you know, it's important to act quickly. So hopefully we do.
Well, once more, the book is called The United States of Absurdity, and you can catch Dave and Gareth's weekly podcast, The Dollop, on iTunes and where else?
Find it. We're on Google Play.
Yeah. Okay.
Libsyn is where we're hosting.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Any of your little podcast apps. You've got to have a podcast app, right? Yeah.
Well, check it out. It's called The Dollop. And again, the book is called The United States of Absurdity. Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Well, that's the show, folks. A reminder, On the Media is WNYC Studios' weekly podcast investigating how the media shape our worldview. Hosts Brooke Gladstone and Bob Garfield are here to offer help if you, like them, are questioning the very nature of our reality. In a political and cultural moment so nerve-wracking, On the Media provides a weekly dose of sanity. Get On the Media on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again to Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds for swinging by the podcast. Order their ridiculously fascinating book, The United States of Absurdity, Untold Stories from American History, on Amazon. Or you can download the audio version of their book for free with a special trial offer just for our listeners at audibletrial.com/kickassnews. Follow the guys on Twitter at Dave Anthony Comedy and at Reynolds Garrett. I don't know, maybe he's dyslexic. Subscribe to Dave and Gareth's podcast, The Dollop, on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. And you can learn more at dolloppodcast.com or visit their own sites at daveanthonycomedy.com or garethreynolds.com. Be sure to subscribe to Kick-Ass News on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. Don't forget to take our listener survey. It only takes 5 minutes at podsurvey.com/kick. You can visit Kick-Ass News on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Kick-Ass News Pod. And be sure to recommend Kick-Ass News to your friends on your social media. And if you really want to help out, then donate to our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/kickassnews. Or click on the donate button at kickassnews.com. As always, I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, though, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News. Kick-Ass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.